This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I want to thank you for joining us today. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Do You Wish Your Kids Ate Better? It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making mealtime family-friendly, fun, and healthy. So get your free copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got a really exciting show for you today, so grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. You're in for a real treat today. My guest on today's show is Angela Cody Rouget, and she's better known as Major Mom, a title she got from her husband while she was serving in the Air Force. Angela is all about organizing to restore serenity to people's lives, and today we're going to talk to her about organizing for a healthy lifestyle. In fact, her tagline for her Major Mom business is organize and energize, which I love. Angela believes that when people live and work in an organized environment, they are freed to experience the joys of life they deserve. To Angela and her team of 14 organizers, who she calls liberators, creating order doesn't mean being rigid or inflexible. Instead, it means having room in your space, your mind, and your calendar for the things that are most important for you. When it comes to organizing for a healthy lifestyle, Angela has a lot of tips for us that'll help you achieve your health goals and live the healthy life you want. Welcome to the show, Angela.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be on this show with you today talking about this important topic.
Well, I'm really excited to have you share with our listeners today. I had the pleasure of hearing you recently, and I just love your energy, your enthusiasm, your excitement around organizing, and just how it can shift your whole life. And as we start our conversation, I'd love to have you share a little bit about your background, which is really unique, and how you became a professional organizer.
Sure. Well, I was a major in the Air Force when I became pregnant with my first child, hence why you mentioned earlier my husband called me Major Mom. And then after my second child was born, 18 months later, my son, I decided that military life and motherhood were no longer compatible for the kind of mom that I had decided at that time now I wanted to be. So I resigned my commission and the Air Force to stay home with my kids for a few years. And it really, I had planned on staying home with them until they were in kindergarten or pre-kindergarten and raising them, and this was never part of the plan, so it really threw my husband for a loop and myself, because that wonderful, fabulous income that I had dried up basically overnight. And then my husband's business dried up overnight. He was in real estate in Denver, and this was in 2005, when things started to, the bottom started to fall out for certain cities earlier than others. And all of a sudden in our real estate business, we had aged receivables climbing. And my husband came home one day and said, "You're going to need to go back to work." And I literally had just quit my career 4 or 5 months earlier. So I was, of course, offended. Like, what do you mean? I just quit my career to be a mom. And he said, "No, really, Angela, we need to, you know, figure out what's going on." So I applied for a couple jobs. There was nothing. And then one day he came home and said, "I was watching my favorite show, Clean Sweep, with Peter Walsh, premier organizer to Oprah." And Frederick came in and said, "You know, you love organizing. You do it, you watch it, you read books about it. You know, you really have something here. You should do what he does for a living. And my first thought was, I should be on TV. You know, I couldn't even see what he was talking about. But that was in 2005. And I decided that day when he pointed to the TV to research the industry and the career. And I was so excited when I went to the National Association of Professional Organizers website and saw that there were 4,500 men and women strong for the past 25 years who had been making it a career outside of TV land. So I was like, all right, I'm going to be a professional organizer.
Interesting. And I would imagine that all of your military background and experience really helped you, because I know we've got a son, he's in his ninth year in the Air Force, and they don't have a lot of things around them, and everything has to stay organized at all times.
Yeah, the military does not tolerate chaos and disorganization. There's a place for everything, everything in its place. Military families can tend to accumulate a lot of things because, you know, the military moves you short notice sometimes, and they send the packers to come move you up. So what will happen to some military families is they might drag around boxes for years until they retire and finally unpack them and go through them. But at the workplace, you know, at the workplace, that's not even tolerated.
Tell me, what was kind of your biggest challenge in making that kind of a transition?
The biggest challenge, I think, for me was being military for so long, 14 years, and really having predominantly all military friends, was really almost learning how to be a civilian and not so intense. So, you know, I think intense military people scare civilians, and I knew that civilians would be my clients. And so I think that was the journey that I began to embark upon, because as I decided I wanted to be a professional organizer, I would go into jobs by myself as a solopreneur and say, okay, I need someone else here helping me because we're going to redesign this room. This office isn't set up right. And I would have this whole big picture, what we need to do and logistics and how to get it done was in my brain. And the client was like, wow, I thought we were just going to, you know, organize my files. And It was like, yes, we can just organize the files, but the file cabinet's on the wrong side of the room. The desk is not facing the right way for how you use this office. And so I started, you know, teaching people it's a bigger picture than just organizing the books on the bookshelf. And so that's when I realized I needed to have a team and I needed to go to market with my true personality and our true brand, which is, you know, we get in there and get it done. We're just not going to come make the bookshelf look pretty. It's bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because what I'm thinking of as you're talking is when it comes to organizing our space, our life, so that we can really enjoy it and be productive, is oftentimes we think as an individual we need one thing, but someone else who's coming in from the outside, very objective, can see that there's so much more that we need or that could help us.
Yes. An outside perspective is so important to a business owner, to a stay-at-home mom, someone else coming in that is also passionate about what they do. There's nothing worse than having a family member organizing you because they feel you need the help, but they actually don't like organizing.
Mm-hmm.
So then it doesn't become a fun process.
So how did you learn to make this shift? Because I think it's something that could help a lot of people, because you went from that real structured environment. You said when you went in, you know, we need to do this, this, and this. So how did you learn to take a step back, to really have fun doing it, to communicate what people need, but also learn to listen to what they want so you could find that, well, you know, that perfect combination?
Absolutely. I think that the first thing that Major Mom, we promise our clients, is that we have a no judgment guarantee. We aren't in there like the military to say, what are you doing? Why are you living this way? You should not live this way. You know, that's not going to work. Maybe a few sickos would want to hire us because we would do that. But really what we do is we just, I think we just have a very spiritual aspect, the owners of the company and a lot of our organizers, and we're there to liberate people from the burden and chaos of the clutter. So we go in with our hearts pure and our intentions pure towards that individual. And in that case, we are able to ask them, what is your vision for this kitchen? How do you want your kitchen to function? Maybe you do eat out a lot. Maybe you do go to fast food during this season of your life. We're certainly not going to make you feel bad about that. However, we may be able to help you get out of that cycle with organizing your kitchen. Would you be open to some ideas? And so it's kind of like, we're not going to judge what you're doing, but if you tell us you feel guilty about it or wish you weren't, then we can help you.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And I think if I'm hearing you correctly, it's really about asking those questions and finding out what's important, what do they really want, what do they really need, and then just listening to how they respond.
Listening how they respond, and what we teach our liberators. We have 18 liberators in Colorado, and four in Arizona, and we're growing here. But we teach them, we have 6 pages of questions that we ask clients over the course of a couple of hours as we're getting to know them. And it's ask the question and listen to their answer. And we don't come in with a cookie cutter idea of how a kitchen should be organized so that you can be healthy. We would never put that burden on a homeowner that there's only one way to do this thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's so important when you're helping someone get organized, it's really understanding what their needs are, because there's many different ways that you can do it, and it needs to work for the person who's going to be using it.
Absolutely. We've organized, you know, if we look at 10 kitchens, we can show you that we've organized all 10 of them differently, and they're all organized based off of the homeowner and the person using the kitchen. If they bake a lot, obviously the baking stuff is going to be really close by. If they bake once a year or rarely, that baking stuff doesn't go in the prime real estate of the kitchen. So really just asking those questions and knowing what gets used is what helps us set up the space correctly. If someone is dedicated to meal planning and making up a bunch of meals on Sunday or Saturday over the weekend, then, you know, where the Tupperware goes, where the measuring, all that stuff, a big prep area is going to go in a centralized location instead of all over the kitchen. But if they're not going to do that, they just want to eat healthier, but they know they're not going to do the meal planning and meal prep, then we just kind of say, you know, let's set your kitchen up so if you do decide to make some large stews or crockpot meals or want to do some prep work, it's ready versus you can't do it because we haven't set up the kitchen to make it fun to do it.
Interesting. And as you're saying that, a light bulb actually went off for me because, you know, you said when you're organizing it, this is like one of those things, why didn't I think of that? You know, how often do you use it? Because I'm thinking of some of my prime cabinet space are things that I very rarely use. So I can just see how I could make just a couple simple shifts there that would make just a big difference on how easy I can access things. It would also make it so that I don't keep as many things sitting out because I could more easily access them.
That's right. I mean, sometimes just having someone ask you, how often do you use this? And we always tell our clients, there is no reason to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell us the truth so we can actually set up your home that best honors how you know your season of life right now. If you're not entertaining right now because kids and dogs and cats and school and job and all that's just overwhelming, then, hey, no problem. You don't need to entertain. It's not a requirement to be a great woman or, you know, a husband. So we'll move all that out, entertaining stuff out to an extended pantry, to the garage, to the basement, you know, wherever it's still accessible, but not front and center.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, we need to take a real quick break. And when we come back, I'd like to have you share just a little bit about why you believe that getting organized really helps your health, and there's a lot of benefits in that. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley. Today we're talking with Angela Cody Rege. And before the break, we were talking about just organizing. And I loved when you asked the question, Angela, you know, for people to consider, how often do you use it? Because that'll really help figure out if something needs prime real estate or you can put it away, or better yet, give it away to someone else who could actually use it. We don't need to keep storing things in our home just because we have them.
That's correct. And we do not have to store them because someone gave it to us.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wedding gift or it was this, but you know your heart does not want to make bread by scratch. You know, we have a lot of kitchens that have bread makers and they made it, they used it a couple times. But with the proliferation of Whole Foods and Sprouts and all of these amazing, good, healthy food stores, that desire to make it yourself wanes in many of us. When it's like, we can just pick up fresh bread at a trustworthy source now versus before, you know, it's White Wonder Bread. But now, mm-hmm. with there being so many places where you can get good bread that you can trust, that bread maker just sits there, and it's huge, and it takes up space.
Mm-hmm. Actually, one of mine was a pasta maker. I did that, made homemade pasta, and I think it took me 3 hours and probably $25 of ingredients to buy what would have been like a dollar's worth of pasta in the store. So I learned that lesson a few years ago.
Yes. So you're like, well, that was fun. Check that off of the list.
Right, right. I'd love to have you share just a little bit, because I know that you really believe in this. How can getting organized really be a health benefit for people, no matter what age and stage they're at?
Sure. Well, we always teach people that there are major impacts of disorganization on your life and everybody around you in four big ways: your time, your money, your health, and your safety. So when you're wasting time looking for things or wasting money buying duplicate purchases, there's a natural effect that your mental health, your physical health, and your spiritual health are impacted, not to mention safety aspects. You know, if you don't have an organized kitchen and you have papers and everything near the stove, I'm focusing a lot on the kitchen just because that's mm-hmm. kind of where health seems to start in our homes, and we spend so much time in our kitchens. But going to get dressed in a closet every day that's full of clothes that no longer fit or out of style, and the closet is packed, jammed full, and yet there's things on there with price tags that have never been worn. So, you know, there's evidence of wasted time and wasted money. It directly impacts your mental, physical, and spiritual health. And so if your mental health is impacted by all the chaos and clutter, you can't find anything, you know you're wasting money going out to the store to buy duplicate purchases, then you start to feel stressed. And stress for too long of a period of time, if you're living in chaos for too long, stress leads to depression and overwhelm. And depression and overwhelm, you know, and this was all research done by many people, and I know you know this, that leads to disease. And stress has been labeled as one of the mm-hmm. lead causings of cancer and disease. Not necessarily just what you put in your body, which is a big cause, but how you're feeling about your whole life. So that's how we tie in being organized, it reduces stress, saves time, saves money, and therefore you can have more joy, which leads to better mental health, that leads to better physical health, because now you don't want to stop at fast food on the way home because you're so stressed out and you can't stand the thought of cooking in your chaotic kitchen. Now you're like, you know what? I'm going to pass up those 10 fast food restaurants on the way home, and I'm going to be home in 30 minutes, and I already have some meals made up, or I know I can make something very quickly. And that goes with our book, Organizing Your Home for Weight Loss, is having just a little bit of planning can save us from eating out all the time, which is very, unhealthy to eat out all the time. Not once in a while, because Lord knows I'm a mom and we do, but mm-hmm. 5 days a week, you know, twice a day is excessive for eating out.
Absolutely. And, you know, the statistics say that 80% of disease is really caused by lifestyle choices and things that we're doing. So by taking care of yourself, it really does help us get healthier. And if you're organized and you love coming home and you've got a kitchen table that you can sit down at, or your kitchen is a place that you love to go, and you know your pantry's stocked with things that you can use, it makes you want to go home. It makes you want to cook, and it's a great way for people that have children to get your children involved and teach them how to start eating healthier. And, you know, I always tell parents, like, the kitchen is a great place to really have great family time, and we always want to get our kids to read, do science, do math, and what better way to do it than to read recipes and measure and see how foods combine? I mean, there's so much you can do and have really amazing quality time.
It really is true. And when you have your kitchen set up where it makes it easy, even for the your younger kids to get their own cup, their own plate, their own things, a lot of people put the kids' stuff really high up for the kids, you know, climbing on cabinets or trying to get up to their own cups or their own plates. And we always show moms, you know, if you just put this little kid area down here, they could get their own glass of water, they could pour their own cereal, you know, they could actually do some things on their own, which builds their confidence. And so just that little shift of don't put everything up so high where they can't get to it, because they're going to start climbing. And then they realize, oh, well, I do feel like I'm always getting stuff for my kids in the kitchen. It's like because they can't reach it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And our children are grown, but we've got grandchildren, and they've got their cupboard where they can come in and get their glasses and their plates and their bowls. And we keep, you know, the fruit on the low part of the refrigerator and some healthy snacks. So they know right where to go, and they love being able to help themselves and, you know, get what they need. And they feel very independent, and they feel like it's really a place for them.
Absolutely. And, you know, we always let our moms that we work with know that they don't have to control every single action and activity that happens in the kitchen, and not to be so afraid of messes and things like that, and just give them some independence so that she can do what she needs to do in the kitchen, and the kids can grab, you know, like you said, the healthy snacks, the ones that are for weekends or football games, you know, where we all splurge and have our Doritos and things mm-hmm. like that. You know, those are the ones that you can put up high out of immediate access, but at some point, children can have unbridled access to fruit and healthy snacks, if it's right after school or on the weekends, as long as it's not too close to mealtime. And that's even a freedom in itself to say, if you organize your kitchen in a way where everyone can help themselves, everyone knows where everything belongs, everybody can put the dishes away from the dishwasher because all the pantries are labeled, all of the cabinets are labeled, and a child can say, oh, this is where this goes. But sometimes kitchens are so disorganized and the homeowners are so disorganized, they just put anything anywhere in any cabinet that fits.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody knows where anything is, and it creates stress, and it makes the kitchen so not fun to prepare healthy meals in.
It does. And when you have to search for something and you can't find it, it's often that way after you've had company in your house. You ever have people come and stay for a while and they really try to be helpful by putting things away, and then you go to look for things and you can never find them. And it can be frustrating.
Very frustrating. And that helps labeling too. Like my mom, she knows where everything goes because I have labels everywhere. So she would actually have to not read the label and just put it back, which we would, I would call rude. If something's labeled, pots and pans, and you put the baking ware there, you know, that would not be fun. And so when you have an organized kitchen, other people actually can help you put things away. And that is even more fun for the guest as well, because they know they're being helpful versus, gosh, I don't know where this belongs, I'll just stick it here.
Mm-hmm. No, I that's so true. So does organizing for a healthier lifestyle just involve organizing the kitchen, or does it go beyond that?
It goes way beyond that. And time management and a little bit of planning goes a long way in a healthy lifestyle. An organized closet goes a long way, because every single day of your life you get up and you get dressed. Whether you're leaving the house to take kids to school or going to work or, you know, going grocery shopping, most of us are getting up and getting dressed the majority of the days of our life. And if every day that closet, that bathroom, you know, everything is cluttered in chaos, you start your day already feeling defeated. And that, again, leads to that mental, physical, and spiritual overwhelm and depression. And so it really is, you come into the garage, you get both cars in, you can take your groceries out while it's snowing or raining or sleeting, and you're inside the garage nice and warm and staying dry and not doing it all out on the driveway while, you know, all of the stuff in the garage is nice and dry. And so that's kind of the welcome into your home. So it really is the whole home, but I would say the kitchen and the closet and the time management and meal planning and a little bit of planning and delegation, you know, having people do their part, is really the most important part of at least directly eating healthy.
No, I agree with you, and I love the thing about delegation, because it's, you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do all of it. So we need to take another quick break, but when we come back, I just love to talk about that. And then I'd love to learn more and have you share your steps process, because I think that'll help give everyone some great ideas and some true action items. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Angela Cody Roget, and we're talking about organizing your kitchen, but also organizing your life to live healthier, to help your family get healthier. And before the break, we were talking about time management, planning, getting organized, and also delegation. And I would just love to finish up that conversation and ask you, Angela, if you have any tips on how to get your family helping and involved in this process.
Absolutely. I think that there's a great document that we help our clients create, and it's called Who is Responsible for What? And it's basically just a list of all of the typical household things that need to get done. We don't call it a chore list. It's just, here's everything that needs to get done and who is responsible for doing it. And then everybody, including Dad, including the kids and the mom, sign who's responsible for what. And the family can decide to rotate those responsibilities or just keep them stagnant for the year. I think sometimes it is easier if just one person is responsible every week for the trash, but then another person is responsible for vacuuming. There's that consistency, and the person can kind of get into a groove. But if their chores are changing every week, it's kind of like your job changing every week. It's hard to get into a groove. But there's a lot of different philosophies on that. But you delegate to each person their duties and what they're expected to do to be a productive family member. And every single night after dinner, whatever time that is, when it works, You say it's family cleanup time. And this is not for toddlers. This is for toddlers to teenagers and maybe adult children that have moved home. At 7:45 every night in our house, if we're done eating, sometimes they've had some sports, so we're not done till 8:15. But as soon as we're done eating, you know, we're done having a great conversation, we're like, it's family cleanup time. Everybody go put your stuff away, throw trash away. Whatever's been brought out throughout the day or for homework now needs to go back to your areas, not perfectly cleaned up in your areas, but everything needs to be picked up. And so having that 15 minutes, and ours only takes 5 minutes because we stay on it pretty consistently. Some families let it go really a long time, so they might take 30 minutes if they've really let it go. But we say, you know what, every night, if you just spend 5 to 15 minutes putting things away, you will feel such a peace of calm, and everybody's participating, and everyone is expected to participate. And if you don't have anything out, like I typically don't have any of my stuff out, but I'll still get in there and go, hey, I'll put this away for you. You know, it's not like, well, I don't have anything out, so I'm not going to participate. No, it's family time. Everybody's, you know, there's always a family member that struggles more than another, and in my family, it's my daughter. So I tend to help her more. It lifts her spirits. She hates doing it. And so, you know, she's 12 years old, and I'm like, she's always been this way. She hates the family cleanup time. She used to throw temper tantrums at family cleanup time. And now we just kind of, everybody just kind of let's do it together, and it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes now for us. So that's my big recommendation.
No, I like that. And I remember when I heard you talk, you talked about that 15 minutes at night. So, and what I've been trying to do is when I go back to my bedroom, the other end of the house, is make sure that I'm always taking something with me, or when I'm coming out to the kitchen, you know, bringing out what I need rather than saying, I'll do it later. Because what I find is when I say, I'll do it later, things really tend to pile up. Rather than taking the 30 seconds now, I'm getting so much more done, and I love that space. And then trying to take, you know, that little bit of time at night just to make sure that I'm ready for the next day, it makes me, when I get up, I'm so much more productive, and it just so much more energizing.
Oh, definitely. And it just feels good also to have that family, everybody pulling together. And even Dad, you know, the dad, if he's worked all day and feels tired, it's literally 5 or 10 minutes. It's not a huge event, but it's a morale-boosting event.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. You know, one of the things I love to ask all my guests is, and I know you've talked a little bit about your background, but what motivates you to live healthy and to share your message about being organized and healthy living with others? We really call it your big why. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you?
My big why is, I think, twofold. My kids and setting a great example for them is my biggest push to live in a healthy manner. I think that I started off on the wrong foot with my kids, having little ones, working full-time and major mom, and, you know, just go, 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 building a business. We would eat out fast food almost every day on the way home from school. I couldn't bear the thought of cooking a dinner because I knew I needed to get back on the computer, make phone calls, and do all that. And so one day I just realized that's how I grew up. I'm doing the same thing my single mom did, but I actually have a husband, and you know, I have a nice kitchen and it's organized. And so I think one day I just thought, this is ridiculous. I need to show them that eating healthy is something I truly believe in by doing it. And so because I already had an organized kitchen, I had to then think, oh, I've never actually done meal planning. I've never really thought through it. And so that they became my why. And this was many years ago. Because when I was 20s and 30s, I mean, I was so skinny. People always thought I was malnourished because I was naturally so skinny. And I ate like a horse. I ate so much, and I was so active all through the military. And, of course, my second why is myself. My own personal feelings about myself is a huge motivation factor to me, as I've hit my heaviest weight I've ever been in my life. You know, and people say, you look so great. But it doesn't matter what they think I look like. What matters is, I weigh 150, and I'm you know, 125, 130 is my sweet spot and where I was for a long time. And that became really important to me to say, you know what? All those years of bad habits have to be changed. And I have to make a conscious decision. And once I made that conscious decision years ago, things started to fall into place in terms of my thought patterns and what I would do. So then when I realized, you know what, this isn't easy as an American who works to pass up all those fast food places, let's start teaching people how fun their kitchen can be and how fun their home could be and help people stay home more and eat out less. And that just became like another mission.
Oh, I love that. And I think it's important for us to remember that, you know, we can tell our children that they need to eat healthy and they need to take care of themselves and do that. But what they pay attention to is what we do way more than what we say.
Oh, yes, unfortunately.
It is. And it's, we just have to remember that. That's important to remember. I'd love to have you talk just a little bit about your steps process and how someone can use that process to start organizing their kitchen and their life.
That's great. The one thing that we teach people is that there is an organized approach to organizing. And sometimes just stepping back and thinking, well, what would an organized approach be to organizing? We first tell people to get a good picture of how they want their space to look. Like, really think through how you want it. Then come up with a space plan and an action plan, you know, where should things live in the home. And think through those two things first, because every client we've worked with wants us to come in and just start digging in, pulling stuff out of cabinets and, you know, going through it and sorting it. And we usually say, you know what, we're not going to just do that first. First, we want to know, what's your vision for this closet? How do you want it to serve you? And people sometimes say, well, I just want the closet just to have the clothes in it that I wear. I mean, I don't know what my vision is for the closet. And then we tell them, well, see, that is the vision. You just want the clothes that you can fit in and like and that you wear in here. So that's what we need to know, because now we're going to take everything else out, right? So now you've shared that with us. You've connected to that's really what you want your closet to be for you, not a storage area for clothes that don't fit. Now we're going to do steps, which is sort things into category, treasure what counts, establish a home and a system for those items, plan your container strategy, and then start new habits. So we say steps, and all of these are on our website, and obviously in all of our books that we write. We also have audio lessons on this on our website as well. But if you sort things into categories, say that you're organizing your closet, that's pretty easy for most people to do. It's like, okay, I sort pants with pants, shirts with shirts, skirts with skirts. Then you get them all sorted, and then, oh, you didn't know you had 15 pairs of pants, the same color, same style, different sizes, though. And so then you treasure what counts, which is the next step, the T. You treasure what counts. We like to say treasure versus purge. You keep what actually fits and that you like, and you let everything else either go into bins for the days the skinny days come back, or they go to charities. And there's thousands of charities near all of us now that need our clothes every single day. Then once you've sorted the category, you pick what skirts and shirts and pants still fit, you've treasured them, you establish homes and systems in your closet. So you have to decide where the pants and the shirts and skirts and scarves and hats, you really think through where things are going to live in the shoes, from the ones that get access all the time, go very handy. The ones that don't, go up higher. And then systems, meaning having a donate box, a small little bag or box in your closet, so that the moment you decide you no longer like it, it has a rip, it has buttons off, and you know you're not going to fix it, you put it in the donate bag. And then another system is put in place is, where are you ironing and folding and putting your dirty clothes? A lot of times there are no hampers anywhere near where the individuals are getting dressed. That's why clothes are all over the floor and getting mixed with the clean and the dirty are getting mixed. So we say establish homes and systems. It's like, how does the dirty clothes flow to the laundry and the clean clothes flow back into a nice organized closet? So we work with people on that. And we have a whole book on laundry systems. Then start new habits. This means, say again, we're talking about the closet. Starting new habits. The moment it doesn't fit, you don't like it, put it in the donate bag or, a temporary holding pattern. You know, maybe you really are going to lose that 5 pounds, that 10 pounds. You just are so close to getting into those. You can put them in a temporary bin labeled, you know, size 10 or size 8, whatever. But just get them out of the immediate everyday dressing to be less stressful. Starting new habits of putting your clothes away the moment they come out of the dryer, hanging them, putting them away, instead of having all the clothes in the system get all backed up. That causes so much stress for so many people.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I can even see how making sure that everything you're doing is just thought out. Like, you know, in the kitchen, you can make sure you've got your shopping list, and whether you do it on your phone or you do it on paper, when you run out of something, because I know so often I keep saying, oh, we need to get more of this, but I never write it down. So when I go to the store, I go to Costco or wherever I go, I never, you know, I forget to get it, and then I go need it next time, and I'm out of it again. So I've tried to get really good about writing things down. And if I know I'm not going to use it, just because it's there, give it, you know, get rid of it. Somebody else can use it.
Yes. Absolutely, and I think that there's that spirit of generosity when you let go of things that you never use. When you need something to come into your life, it naturally flows in with ease when you let go of things that you don't need. And so you create almost a cycle of giving and receiving when you don't hold on to stuff for years that you never use, while someone out there who lost everything in a house fire, or their husband left them and took everything. You know, there's people out there every day that need perfectly good stuff. They don't need junk. They need good stuff so they can live with dignity.
Absolutely. We need to take our final break. And when we come back, I want to have you share some of your tips from your Organize Your Home for Weight Loss. And I also want to make sure our listeners come back, because you just had a really exciting experience and we're actually on Shark Tank. And I'd love to have you just share a little bit, if you can, about that experience, because I think it's fun to see someone who's really got a passion for something get attention and exposure. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're having a fascinating conversation with Angela Cody Rege, Major Mom, and we've been talking about, before the break, her steps process, and I love that. And I'd love to have you just briefly just repeat the steps of that process, if you would, Angela.
Absolutely. So the Major Mom Method is a three-phase process. Phase one is, we call picture it, get a good vision and idea of how you want that kitchen or closet or space to function. Phase two is plan it, create a space plan, an action plan, you know, come think about how long it's going to take. Really, this is the thinking stages and phases. And then once phase three comes along, it's basically, all right, now dig in time. So you go and proceed with steps, STEPS. You sort into categories, place like items together. You treasure what counts, determine what is going to stay and go. Establish homes and systems, decide where things are going to live and the flow of items. Plan your container strategy, which is selecting and utilizing appropriate containers, the right size and for the right place, and then S, start new habits, implementing new systems to maintain the space you just organized.
I love that because it really simplifies it. I think it makes it such that anyone can do it. I'd love to ask you to share just a few of your top tips. I know you've got a book called Organizing Your Home for Weight Loss. I love that title. And it's a real simple read, but it's thought-provoking. And I'd love to have you just share a few of your top tips from your book.
Oh, absolutely. I think the number one tip that we try to drive home all the time is portion sizing. And, you know, when you're organizing your home for weight loss, and you want to make sure that you can manage the portions that, you know, you're eating. A lot of times we don't have to manage our kids' portions. Some people do because of diabetes and other things with, you know, the kids' childhood illnesses. But many people don't have to worry about children's portion sizes because they're growing and they have these growth spurts and have voracious appetites. But for those of us who are now only starting to grow outwards and not upwards, portion sizing becomes very important. Therefore, make sure you organize your kitchen so that you're using the smaller measuring cups, smaller bowls, smaller plates, smaller things. Because sometimes when you put tiny little portions, what some people will say to us, well, those all look like tiny little portions. Yes, because you're using your huge plates. Mm-hmm. But if you use your salad plate, it looks like it's overflowing, which is a psychological thing that Weight Watchers teaches people. And by the way, two of the authors, co-authors on this book that we wrote, Organizing Your Home for Weight Loss, are Weight Watchers for Life. And they went on a long journey of knowing how important the kitchen and portion sizing was and planning and helped write this book. And so that's what they say. Number one is the portion size. The second tip is sitting down and planning. It just can't get organized without a plan as far as your meals. It doesn't have to be Martha Stewart planning or, you know, what neighbor Jane is doing next door. It just sit down for a second and just think, do you want to have Italian, Mexican, you know, do you want to have themes for each night, or do you just want to have buffet style each night? Just sitting down and thinking, what's going to work for your family, and come up with a plan that works for you. And that if you have two working parents in the house, guess what? maybe your plan is just buying the right freezer meals that are actually healthy. Maybe your plan is ordering them from a health food store and having them delivered. You don't have to make everything, right, Janelle? You just have to have a plan how to get it into the house.
Right. And you know, I love that. And I love the thing with your steps process, which I think can be applied to any room in the house and everything that you're doing. But I love the fact that you really believe in personalizing and individualizing. It's not a one-size-fits-all.
It is not a one-size-fits-all. And I think that's what we attempted to do in our book, is help people just plan for what works well for them. And obviously, if people cannot get their kitchen organized or they just don't know where to start, then either call Major Mom. We can do a virtual organizing session with you, kind of talk you through it, or call a local professional organizer in your area if we don't service that area. But just be wise and reach out for help.
Absolutely. And when you're planning, it's really important to make sure that you're really looking at that balance. So you've got your vegetables, your protein, your grains, really looking at kind of the whole picture. Whether you, I say, you don't have to make it yourself, but make sure that it's balanced in everything that you're doing.
I'm so thankful for the Whole Foods of the world and many of the restaurants that have popped up all over the nation that actually have great healthy food that you can pick up on the way home, and you know it was fresh made there. And yes, it is more expensive to do it that way, but like you and everyone else knows, it actually is more expensive in the long run in our health if we don't take care of our bodies. So you're going to spend it one way or another, on the front side buying the good, you know, good healthy stuff without pesticides and GMOs, or on the back side when, you know, you're suffering from an illness. So I like to teach people, let's get ahead of this game.
Absolutely. Before we wrap up our time together, which has gone so fast, I'd love to have you just take a few minutes and talk about your experience on Shark Tank. I think it's fun that to have someone that's really got a passion for what they're doing be recognized, and I'd just love to have you share what you can with us.
Sure. Well, the episode, you know, taping the episode for Shark Tank was absolutely the most stressful event that I had gone through in a very long time. And I joke about it with people that are close to me that knew I was going to L.A. to film for the February 5th airing. The career field I was in the Air Force was nuclear weapons. And so I actually had the key to the nukes. And training to launch nuclear weapons, the training is very intense. The thought of actually ever having to do it is intense. You know, so you're always preparing and training for war and always watching the Russians and the Koreans and, you know, everybody else and what are they doing, and Iran. But going out in front of five sharks, it took tons of organizing and planning because there are so many things that you have to do. You have to bring your own set with you. They don't do your set for you. So you bring your set, and you bring all of these documents, and you bring all of your outfits, and it's just such a huge event. And then when you get out there, you've already gone through anywhere from 5 months to 2 years of loops and hoops to get on the show.
Wow.
When you get out there, they tell you, you've gotten this far, you know, you've made it to the Sony studios and you've made it here to film with the sharks. You're going to go through a rehearsal, and you're still not guaranteed you'll actually get in front of the sharks during the 4 days that you're here. Meaning, you better have your game, you know, your game face needs to be on. You need to be in performance mode the whole time because they're looking for good TV. And that was very stressful for a lot of entrepreneurs, and it was stressful watching, you know, knowing some were going home. You know, you could see the tears and people going home, and they didn't make it through the rehearsal. And for whatever reason, I would say they didn't do enough planning and preparation and weren't very organized, and it showed through. And so they didn't make it. Nobody gets to watch anybody else's rehearsal, so I'm, you know, that's all my thoughts of why it was happening. But the products and the businesses were already something that they wanted. So really, once you get out there and then don't make it, it's really very sad. And I think that that's what life is all about, is you get these amazing opportunities, and being on Shark Tank is amazing. But just think about the daily opportunities we have to make the right choice and do the right things, and we don't do it. So much less having a huge opportunity on the line. But that's what it's fun to wrap up this conversation with, is every single day we have an opportunity to plan and prepare and be ready to have a better lifestyle. And every day that goes by that we don't seize the day and make those changes is just another day that we leave ourselves to beat ourselves up for or feel guilty. And I think that I would like to say to the listeners that we are not striving for perfection at Major Mom. We are not striving to get people to be perfect and live perfect lives. Going on Shark Tank definitely felt like you had to be perfect and there was no room for error. Working in nuclear weapons, there is no room for error. There's a lot of situations in life where you feel like there is absolutely no room for error on this. But living a healthy lifestyle is a journey. And there's ups and downs, and there's mistakes that were made. And I just would say, just make more good ones than bad ones. And that's what I think makes the journey more fun.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And we were part of a group at one point, and one of the things they always said is, think about what you'd say if Oprah called and wanted you to be on her show. So really prepare yourself, because you do get those opportunities like Shark Tank and different things that might come up for people, which is, you know, not the ordinary, but when something does happen, you do want to be prepared because you don't want to miss those amazing opportunities.
You do not want to miss those amazing opportunities. And I think there's people out there that might be listening now thinking that maybe they missed some opportunities or they did some things. And the great thing is that today is a new day. Tomorrow is a new day. We can all wake up tomorrow and say, you know what, I'm going to go 5 days without eating fast food, and I'm going to get my kitchen organized. I'm going to get rid of clothes. And the biggest part of change and seizing opportunity really is making the decision to do it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to challenge all of our listeners to make one decision in the next week, to do something that's going to get you healthier, whether that's cleaning out a closet or a cupboard or eating, you know, not eating fast food. Just make one decision during the next week that you're going to follow through on to help you get healthier. And, you know, Angela, you've shared so much with us today. How can our listeners learn more about you and getting organized and connect with you if they'd like to?
Oh, yes. Well, they can go to our website, which is majormom.biz, B-I-Z. And on that website, they can contact us if they have specific questions. They can also hire us. We have franchise opportunities available throughout the nation. But the coolest thing is we have a great organizing blog and an organizing store. So if they go to majormom.biz, we have audio lessons and video workshops on organizing your home for weight loss, and they are great. You can get the ebook and watch the workshop and take notes in your ebook. And so that is something that is really exciting, because now, no matter what, we've got it available 24/7 online, and it's incredibly affordable.
That's great. Thank you very much. And we will put a link to your website on our eatgreatlivewellradio.com page with today's interview. Thank you so much for your time and for all of your insights and sharing.
You are so welcome, Janelle, and I hope you have a majorly organized day.
Thank you. So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on Facebook, share your thoughts, share your questions, share what you loved about today's conversation. Take care and have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the